Many of you would know that I love the Psalms. Over the years, I have been encouraged, challenged, and inspired and blessed by many of the Psalms, and have used them even as a call to worship on many occasions. And this morning, I would like to look at David the Psalmist, his journey of faith. As I was reading through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, which relate to David's journey from a shepherd boy right up to when he was king, I discovered there was so much for us to learn from his journey of faith. Even though we might wonder what we have in common with someone who existed so many years ago and a culture a world away. David's childhood experiences could have wrecked him emotionally. But when God looked at his heart, he saw in him as a leader better fitted to what he wanted him to do rather than his brothers. And out there, alone on the hills, this shepherd boy learned the secret of opening up his heart unto God and receiving from him all the love that the others failed to give him. He says in Psalm 27 and 10, "Although my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." That's encouragement, isn't it? David still needed human love, but his security throughout life came from having God as his main source of love. As I continued to read, I discovered four things. Firstly, David lived in complicated circumstances. And so do we. We're no different. Life is not always meant to be easy. It's not an easy path, is it? We all go through trials and testing in our journeys. It is how we respond to them that really matters. Secondly, God allowed suffering and persecution in David's life because these would be used in training him for the position he was destined to fill. And yet, even through David's difficult times, there were compensations. He had Jonathan as his friend, one whom he can always depend on. It is also interesting to note that much in David's circumstances he brought on by himself. He went his own way. He forsook the way of the Lord, the way of blessing. And fourthly, the fulfillment of God's promises to David seemed a long time coming. And I think we can relate to that. Sometimes we pray, and it seems a long time before we get answers. And sometimes we get discouraged until it happens. And then we're overjoyed, aren't we? And you know, when we look at this, some of the Old Testament heroes of faith, like Abraham and Noah and many others, the promises to these men didn't happen straight away. They had to go on waiting. They had to go on believing, looking to God to bring about that fulfillment. And Hebrews 11:13 says that all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And in verse 39 sums it all up. It says that all of these were commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had promised. God had planned something better. And you know, God always has something better for each one of us, doesn't he? David was a man of prayer. He was a man of faith. He stood firm through many tests and won many victories. yet he still struggled in his faith at times. He still struggled. And I think we're no different. We all struggle in our lives with what we're going through. We can't live on mountaintop experiences all the time. Sooner or later, we go through the valleys. And it's not always easy to say with a hymn writer. I thought of this one. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. If I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve it. And I'd never know what faith in God can do. You know, there is not a valley so deep, that God cannot lead us through. In Acts 13:22, God describes David as a man after his own heart. David was not a perfect man, and we might find it difficult to understand why God would think of him as a man after his own heart. And yet, it was by his reign he became the standard by the reign of the kings would later be measured. But I believe the answer is found in the Psalms which David wrote. Here we find that David had a clear view of God. He had a clear view of himself as a sinner before God. And we see very clearly in the Psalms that David knew God as his creator. He knew him as a sustainer. He knew him as a saviour, redeemer, deliverer, guide and counsellor, shepherd, but also as a friend. David knew himself to be a sinner before God. He knew he needed God's cleansing. He also saw himself being forgiven by God and having his sin removed, as well as finding secure rest or peace with God. And finally, David saw sin for what it really is. Not simply as doing the wrong thing, no, but as a rebellion against God. He saw his own inability to pay for his own sin. And he would then acknowledge his sin before God, and he knew God would forgive him and could forgive him. So we learn so much from these Psalms about the character and the person of David. When God chose David, he was not looking for a man who was sinlessly perfect, because there was no such man upon the earth. There was only one person who was sinless, Jesus himself, when he walked upon this earth. He knew no sin, he did no sin, and no sin was found in him. He was perfect in every way. But then we think of how David was. But God chose David. He was looking for a man who was not sinlessly perfect, but one who fulfilled the will of God. He chose a man who would do his will. And the supreme goal of his life, David was a humble man with a steadfast heart. And he continually sought to pattern his will, life, after the will of God. We come to the four things. I don't know if they're up here. Faith in practice. As we go a little bit further, we see David's faith in practice. Goliath was a giant. He was 9 foot 9 inches tall in the old scale. If you're up talking to him, he's way up there, and you'd get a very sore neck. And that's how it was. But he had challenged Israel for 40 days. But David remembered God's deliverance in time past. He had delivered him from the lion. He had delivered him from a bear. And we see his trust and confidence in God now. He refuses to wear the armor offered to him by Saul. Instead, it was David's faith in God that won him that victory. His armor was the living God, and his weapons, 5 smooth stones and a sling. It is doubtful that any of us will ever have to fight a lion or a bear or a big giant. But David brought something to the crisis of his life that you and I may have and use. David knew and trusted God as the living God who delivered him. He had experience of that. He was the Lord Almighty. David's God was very real to him. David's God was very real to him. The confidence that David expressed to his brothers and King Saul, who were all quaking with fear, no doubt, it was born out of personal experience. Goliath was certainly one of the biggest challenges. But isn't it true that we all have Goliaths, whether they're big or small? And how easy it would be for us if God was to remove them or change them, our Goliaths. And he doesn't always do this. He gives us a choice. These are the challenges that come to us. We allow them to grow us and become strong, or we become weak and fail. The question is, but how do we face our Goliaths? Why was everyone too afraid to fight Goliath? They knew he was too big. They knew he was powerful. So how did a shepherd boy kill him? And I believe it was the way David looked at Goliath that made the difference. And I believe that when we compare our giants with ourselves, they look enormous and we feel so small. We know that we don't have enough wisdom. We don't have the patience. We don't have the experience to cope in our own. But David didn't compare Goliath with himself. He compared them with God. And it's when we see our giants dwarfed by the great and mighty God, we can stop trying to deal with them in our own strength and understand that God puts all the resources of heaven at our disposal. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you may be going through now, God puts all the resources of heaven, they're there for you to use. You know, it is never enough to be part of a group or church who claim to believe in God. We need a personal experience with God. And this equips us and enables us to face our Goliaths in the name of the Lord and have the victory. And that's what David proved. When Samuel anointed David as Israel's future king, 1 Samuel 16:13, he tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. You see, our journey with the Lord doesn't begin with us, no. It begins with God. He came to us in the person of Jesus Christ. His Spirit works within us, and it's God who will watch over us and fulfill his purposes in our lives. Philippians 1 and 6, Paul says, expressed it this way, he who began a good work in you will carry it on unto completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God is working through each one of you this morning, and he'll continue to work through each one of you. I think David was an interesting character. It seemed that the people who met him usually loved him, or they didn't like him. Someone would even betray him. But I think David was an interesting character. It seemed that the people who met him usually loved and trusted him inside. He was multi-gifted. He was intelligent. He was a brilliant statesman. He was a soldier. But he had a way of the people he met feel loved and feel valued. And that is important for everyone today, to feel loved, to feel valued. Today, we'd probably say he was a people's person. Relationships were vitally important to David. He loved very deeply. So the people in his life had the power to make him supremely happy or terribly sad. And this shows in so many of his psalms. We have the lovely psalms of praise and worship, and then the contrast when he pours out his heart unto God. And the Thompson Chain Reference Bible describes David as a man of the most prominent figure in history of the world, and certainly amongst Bible characters. Faith under pressure. David's relationships were complicated, and this put his faith under more pressure. In 1 Samuel 18:23, David says, "Do you think it is a small matter to become the king's son-in-law?" Think about that. "I'm only a poor man and little known." He was just a shepherd. Talk about putting yourself down. That's what he was doing. David had two gifts: his musical talent and extreme bravery. It brought him into a permanent place in Saul's household, a high position in Saul's army, married to one of Saul's daughters. Could it get any better than that? In one sense, it got worse. Because of that, it caused the jealousy amongst his brothers and also the hatred of Saul. How sad. We know that David's relationship with Saul was both complex and painful. Like many painful relationships, it started well, then unexpectedly went sour. They shared a love of music, which helped Saul enormously. It brought David out of the shepherd pen, right up there into the limelight. And many considered David successful, and they recognised that the Lord was with him. And we read in 1 Samuel 18 and 15, when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him, and he was jealous too. And life for David became extremely complicated. He had to avoid Saul's attempts to kill him. And he wondered might have wondered, what was God doing? Where was God in all this? Because what was happening? And sometimes we might ask some questions when our prayers do not seem to be answered straight away. A chorus I used to sing in Sunday school a long time ago comes to mind. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials oppress us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you. God is still on the throne. There were several ways that God provided and supported David And I believe he does the same for us today, though although we might not always notice it at the time and view it as God's provision. God gave David skills that enabled him to avoid Saul's javelin and conquer the Philistines in battle. David also had a supportive wife, Saul's daughter, who loved him dearly and enabled him to escape from her father's attempts to even kill him. Jonathan's son became David's closest friend through years of turmoil. And this friendship was truly remarkable. In 1 Samuel 23:16 tells us that Jonathan went to David and helped him find strength in God. You see, Jonathan knew that David was having a tough time. He knew his faith was down, so he went and helped him. And Jonathan risked his own life to save David's, but he also did his best to mend the failing relationship between his friend and his father. I think we find there are times in our lives when prayers and the support of a friend help us through difficult times, don't they? We can never underestimate the value of friendships. Friendship is a wonderful gift that should never be taken for granted. Faith in God's control. David certainly had faith in God's control. And how hard it can be at times for us to put Jesus Christ in the driver's seat of our lives, then take our hands off the steering wheel. God's in control. He should be in control at all times. And we see at times that David showed exceptional restraint, even when Paul tried to kill him. And those close to David were convinced that God had arranged these circumstances. But David refused to listen. He believed deeply and firmly that God would bring him to the throne in his own time. Faith that falters. Although David had everything going for him, God had chosen him, God had blessed him, and he had proved God's faithfulness time and time and time again. Yet he became distracted. He lost his focus. He took his eyes off the Lord. His faith, in fact, began to falter. How true that is. In 2 Samuel, we read that he took many wives. He became lazy and careless. He became a murderer. He became self-righteous. He took matters into his own hands with disastrous results. And so we find that David, he fell into sin in a big way. But he was stubborn in his sin. He was convicted of it. And what did he do? He humbly asked God for forgiveness. He asked for mercy, believing in God's faithfulness. And then we read in Psalm 51, 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he, the Lord Jesus, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Janice Kennedy has written a poem entitled Arguing with God, and this is based on the verse I just read. I said to the Lord, it was not sin. I was only acting. I was in within my rights. And besides, you know my thoughts and actions were by others provoked. But the Lord said to me, why do you argue so? and why you are self-deceived. I understand your failing, and for you will intercede. My faithfulness will never end. My forgiveness is complete. I only ask your willingness to bring that sin to me. I said to the Lord, how foolish I've been. I bring my sin to your feet. And in confessing, what did I find? I found only peace and relief. The sin that I clung to no longer was mine. Its guilt I no longer bear. And the communion I share with my Lord once again is sweet beyond compare. Although David had such a close friendship with God, there was a time when he felt abandoned by God. And right from the depths of his despair, he humbly confesses his sin, admitting his need for forgiveness and cleansing. And Psalm 51 and 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast your presence from me or take your spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. It was a cry from his heart. You see, although David had lived with the consequences of his actions, he also knew the joy of restoration. And I think, like David, it is possible to experience a dimming of our Christian joy at times. As we travel along life's pathway, we're no different to David. We have to remember that our salvation is not a rain check for the fruit tomorrow, but as Christians, we need to walk daily in the joy of his presence. Nehemiah says it so well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is a joy from coming to know God is present with us and has gone before us to work things out for us. If we look to our own circumstances to find joy, we will live on an emotional roller coaster going round and round and round and round. But if we look to the Lord and rejoice in his unfailing goodness, we will move from weakness unto strength. As we study the life of David, it is a powerful reminder to us that going our own way, taking our eyes off the Lord, can not only affect ourselves deeply, but also impact our families and those round about us. How thankful we are that a God does not abandon his children when we fail. He won't abandon you. He's there all the time. He's there lovingly to forgive, to guide and direct us. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. To David, God was not some distant, disinterested, detached being. He was with him constantly in all aspects of his life. Psalm 23 shows God as his shepherd. Psalm 18:2, God as his rock, in whom he takes refuge. And Psalm 7 refers to him as soldier, God as his shield. And when David finally became king, his life continued to show both moments of great trust and strength, but also times of defeat and disaster. And yet throughout the triumphs, sorrows of his contemporary life, David could still write from his heart, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. He has compassion on all that he has made." Our journey of faith is far removed from David's in time and place. But what a joy it is to know that we can know a God as a living God who has delivered us because of his great love for us. Like David, we can have the victory over sin in our lives. We can experience his love, his grace, his joy, and have peace and forgiveness. Wouldn't you like to know him? Do you know him? Do you trust him? In closing, I just to leave you with the last verse, Psalm 100. "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." There's generations out here, it shall continue. You help it along. Let us pray. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet again this morning. We thank you that through David's journey of faith that we have been reminded of your faithfulness to your promises, and we pray that our one desire will be to know you more fully, to love you more deeply, and to follow you more closely. And if there's anyone here, Father, who does not know you, maybe their eyes will be opened this morning and they receive you as their Saviour and Lord and friend. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.